Thank you, Pastor, and what a joy it is to meet here at LBCLive.tv this morning. Take your Bibles, Genesis chapter number 39. Genesis chapter number 39, and while you're turning there, I'll just get the story out of the way, because during the message you might be wondering, does Brother Rule have a black eye, or is he wearing makeup, or what is he doing here? And I do have a black eye. In fact, about a week ago, we were playing football with some family, and we were running a play. My daughter Mariah was on my team, and we were supposed to do a fake to her, and then I was going to throw it to my nephew. And we ran the play, and I saw Mariah coming at me. I was going to fake a handoff to her and then throw it to my nephew. And I looked at Mariah coming at me. I kind of looked over out of my peripheral at my nephew, so I knew where to throw it. I looked back to make the fake to Mariah, and when I looked back, there was Mariah. There was no time to react, and head to head, we collided. I don't know how I got the worst end of that deal, but I did. So I'm recovering from it. I'm perfectly fine. I posted something on social media about losing my eyesight. That was in jest. That was a joke. That was never really any concern whatsoever. Now, last Sunday, I did preach out of town, and my eye was so swollen, I had to ice it for about 20 or 30 minutes so I could open it, so I could read the Bible. So it is much better now, but just want to get that out of the way. If you're sitting at home or wherever you're watching and you're wondering what in the world is going on with that guy's eye, there it is. Ask Mariah, I guess. Genesis chapter number 39. And look with me from wherever you're joining us this morning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which he had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass, from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." And I want to preach a message this morning entitled, "Ready, Set, Stop." Ready, Set, Stop. Now, when I was a kid, growing up in church, my dad was a pastor, we had an activity every year where we went to a skating rink, a roller skating rink called Cal Skate. And at this particular skating rink, they had a game that they would play called Red Light, Green Light. And everybody who wanted to play was called out on the roller skate floor. They lined us up on one end of the roller skate rink, and then they would get some referees out there, and on the other end, they would place a stuffed toy of some kind, and we were going to play red light, green light, and whoever could get down to that toy and pick it up would win the game. Well, the announcer, as we were all standing there at the wall going down the roller skate rink, would announce green light. And when he would say green light, well, we would take off on our skates, and then he would say stop, and we would stop. And then he would go to say green light again, but he would try to trick you. So he might say something like green line or green lime or whatever. And if you moved when he said anything but green light, the referee would disqualify you. You'd have to go all the way back to the wall and start over. And so you were ready, but you couldn't move until the official green light was given. Well, I feel that as we conclude 2020, and here we are meeting online exclusively this weekend, as we prepare, if the Lord tarries this coming, for 2021, that we are definitely in a moment of time where we are ready, but we are waiting. Where there is not a lot happening right now, there's not a lot of opportunity right now, we're ready, but it is definitely a time of waiting in our culture and in our society. Well, that's exactly where we find Joseph here in Genesis chapter number 39. Now, Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. Joseph was loved by his father. He was shown great favoritism. In fact, it was Joseph who was famously given the coat of many colors. And it was obvious to everybody who knew Joseph's father, Jacob, and their family that Jacob loved Joseph. Joseph was given some dreams by God, and these dreams were a sign that God had something very special for Joseph, that he was going to use him in a very special way indeed. Joseph made these dreams known to his father, to his brothers, to his family. And if you read the story in Genesis, the Bible says that his brothers envied Joseph. In fact, the Bible says that his brothers hated him. Well, on one particular day, Jacob, Joseph's father, sent Joseph to go check on his brothers to see how they were doing in some fields in Shechem. So Joseph prepared for the journey and made his way to Shechem to check on his brothers. And his brothers saw him coming. The Bible again declares their hatred for Joseph. They got together and they literally conspired, "Let's kill our brother." Now, I've seen some siblings not getting along. Our four children may have some seasons of not getting along as they should, but it's got to be really bad when what the solution might be is to kill your sibling. But for Joseph's brothers, it had come to that. They wanted to kill Joseph. So when Joseph reached them there in Shechem, they took Joseph and they threw him in a pit, and they were going to leave him for dead. Now, Reuben, the oldest brother, understood what it was that they wanted to do. And Reuben said, "We can't do that. We can't kill him. We've got to do something else." And the Ishmaelites were coming through, and the brothers decided, okay, let's sell Joseph into slavery. And so that's what happened. Joseph's brothers took him out of that pit. They made a deal with the Ishmaelites, and they sold Joseph into slavery. The Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt, where Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh there in Egypt, purchased Joseph as a slave. Now, when Joseph comes to Egypt, now being purchased by Potiphar, he's no longer the owner of the coat of many colors. Now he's wearing the garments of a slave. He has changed his position. He has changed everything about his life, even the location. He no longer is enjoying Canaan land. Now he is in Egypt. In fact, as we study this sojourn of Joseph, we find that he spends the rest of his life in Egypt. In fact, the only time he goes back to Canaan is to bury his father. And that takes 39 years after he is sold into Egyptian bondage to Potiphar. So think with me this morning for a moment. Here's Joseph. We read about him at the age of 17. Dreaming these dreams, sharing them with his dad and his brothers. It's obvious that God has his hand upon him and a great plan for his life. His dad observes and understands there's something special going on here, gives him the coat of many colors. Life is exciting. Life is full of anticipation. The future is going to be awesome. And then in what seems like a moment, it's turned upside down. And Joseph is sold into slavery. Now he is in a foreign land, everything out of his control, and his future looking much differently than he ever anticipated it would. I believe that Joseph in Genesis chapter 39 greatly describes many Christians today. They're ready. They love the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. But boy, as we conclude 2020, if the Lord tarries his coming to 2021, things are different. Particularly here in Lancaster and Los Angeles County, with the rise of the COVID virus and hospitalizations and all that goes with it, is at an unprecedented level right now in our community. And in the midst of all of that, what do we do? This time of uncertainty, this time of unrest, this season of waiting and unknown, how do we handle and respond to that? Well, when we come to this season in Joseph's life, how did he respond to this unforeseen change, through this season of waiting? And I want us to see it together this morning from God's word. First of all, I see Joseph's wisdom. Look at verse number 4 in our text. The Bible says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand." Now, Joseph's reaction to the adversities that he was facing indeed was very wise. Usually when circumstances come into our life that we don't like, we explain or we communicate that we don't like it. We could even take the advice of Job's wife where she said, curse God and die. And sometimes you'll find people doing that, that life is not going the way that they thought. Life is difficult. It has uncertainty. It has seasons that are very uncomfortable. And sometimes even believers in God can be found complaining and really struggling during such a season. But so often, adverse circumstances find us bemoaning what it is that God is allowing into our life rather than looking for a way to glorify God through it. But Joseph found a way to bring glory to God even in a midst of adverse circumstances. One commentator wrote that he was a slave, had been evilly treated, and ought to be a prince instead of a pauper, did not limit his labor. He worked industriously regardless of the task or the time, and neither was very cordial to Joseph. The proof he worked well is seen in the fact that he was promoted to overseer of the house by Potiphar. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:29, seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings and he shall not stand before mean men. One of the best medicines in a season of adversity is just to energetically give ourselves to what God has called us to do. If we want to be a victor instead of a victim in adverse circumstances, the wise thing to do is to do what we do with great diligence unto the Lord. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it with thy might. Do it with thy might. Whatever it is that we can do in 2020, whatever it is that we can do, we want to do it with our might. I appreciate our pastor's leadership through this COVID crisis, even this Christmas season as we planned it. Maybe a year ago, it looked much differently, certainly, than it has played out. Even a month ago, it looked much differently than the way it's played out. But just in a moment and a time of pivoting to say, let's go online and let's create the production of Peace on Earth. And now today, as we gather on Sunday to think back to Christmas Day and the thousands of people who tuned in on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to view Peace on Earth, the presentation of the gospel, the souls that were saved and the believers that were encouraged. What a blessing to see our pastor, to see our church finding what we can do and doing it with our might. Now, if we meet seasons of trouble and trial with a complaining tongue, with a sour spirit, with hysterical behavior, indeed we will be defeated. But if we meet our adversities as Joseph did, then we will have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Again, think about Joseph. Joseph had these dreams. Joseph knew that God's hand was upon him, that his future was bright, that there were wonderful things in store for Joseph. Joseph had no idea that day walking to Shechem that his brothers were going to accost him and throw him into a pit to conspire to kill him, settle for selling him into slavery, taking him out of that pit, selling him to the Ishmaelites taking him from Canaan land there to Egypt and selling him to Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. Joseph had no idea all of that was going to take place. Here was Joseph, a slave. But we read of Joseph in great wisdom that he's doing his best in what it is that he has been given to do. Oftentimes, it is not the trouble that comes into our life that undoes us. It is how we react to that trouble that ruins us. And we must be so careful in times of adversity and uncertainty and seasons of discomfort and whatever is going on to trust in the Lord. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Joseph, how did you handle this season where nothing was going right, nothing was going according to plan? Well, we see Joseph's wisdom, but then I see secondly this morning, Joseph's walk. Look in verse number 2 in our text with me, if you would. The Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. We see, and the Lord was with Joseph. This is an off-stated description of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph secured the presence of God. Now, in coming to Egypt, Joseph had lost so much of what man counts important today. He had lost his position. He had lost his possessions. He had lost his friends. He had lost the comforts that he was accustomed to enjoying, but he had not lost the presence of God. The presence of God does not depend on the situation of our life. Rather, it depends on the state of our soul. And Joseph secured the presence of God. The Lord was with him. Now, we understand today, this begins at salvation. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And friend, if you're viewing today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you do not know heaven as your home, we just celebrated his birth 2 days ago, but Jesus came to die on the cross, to pay for my sin and for your sin. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus has paid sin's penalty. He offers to you and I the gift of salvation. And if we will believe in him and receive him as our Savior, we can know according to God's word that heaven will be our eternal home. Joseph believed in God. Joseph secured the presence of the Lord. And really, when you think about having the presence of God, the key to having the presence of God is to welcome the presence of God. As you study Joseph's life, the reason that Joseph secured the presence of God is because he wanted the presence of God. Joseph welcomed the presence of God in his life. The Bible says in James 4:8, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Jeremiah, the Bible says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. May you and I, as we finish 2020, and if the Lord tarries his coming, begin 2021, may there be a sincere desire in our heart for the presence of the Lord. May we draw nigh to him. May we search for him with all of our heart. There's so much wonder that comes and being in the presence of the Lord. The psalmist said in chapter 16 and verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Boy, in the midst of all kinds of adversity and uncertainty, there can be fullness of joy. How is that possible, Gabe? By being in the presence of the Lord. Joseph, as a slave, was being blessed. Joseph, as a slave, was being successful. Joseph, as a slave, was a standout. How is this possible when his entire life was turned upside down? It was possible because of securing the presence of God. Nothing is so valuable as the presence of God. In fact, Moses valued it so greatly that when he was leading God's children out of the land of Egypt and the bondage that they were in and into the promised land, there was a moment when the people complained that God said, okay, I'm not going to go. I'm just going to have an angel lead you. And Moses went on their behalf and he prayed to God. And Moses said, God, if you're not going to go, I don't want to go. Moses made it very clear that more important, more valuable, more enjoyable than the spoils of the promised land was the presence of God. Friend, do you value the presence of God in your life today? Do you desire the presence of God in your life today? Is it more valuable to you than anything else to secure the presence of the Lord? Because God's presence can make a prison a palace. And even though Joseph was in slavery and bondage, God was with him and it made everything better. By the way, the lack of God's presence can take a palace and turn it into a prison. Sometimes what we view successful or valuable or having arrived in our culture and society today, when you get into the inside of that situation, often it's full of strife and animosity and frustration and anger and hatred. Why? Because there's no presence of God there. How did Joseph handle this season of ready, set, stop. Joseph handled it by his walk with God. The presence of God made Joseph's situation in slavery better than his brother's situation in freedom. Yes, Joseph was under the rule of Potiphar. Yes, Joseph was a slave, but think about his brothers. They were in freedom, but they took Joseph's coat of many colors. The Bible says they killed an animal. They soaked that coat in the blood of that animal. They took it back to their father and they said to Jacob, we don't know what happened, but on our way home from Shechem, we found this coat of Joseph's and it was soaked in blood. And we think that he was killed by some wild animal and that he's dead and that he's gone. And Jacob was so grieved that the son whom he loved was dead. And think about this. His brothers were in freedom, but they were actually in the bondage of their own guilt for the rest of their life. We don't have time this morning, but if you go later into the story of Joseph's life, you'll see when his brothers come back into Joseph's life and they discover that he's still alive and that God has promoted him and using him in a great way. And the Bible says his brothers were afraid. You want to know why they were afraid? Because they had lived their entire life in freedom, but in the bondage of guilt. And Joseph was discovering that the presence of the Lord, even as a slave, was better. Joseph had a wonderful walk with God. The Bible says that he secured the presence of the Lord in verse number 2, and was a prosperous man. Now, when you read about this description of Joseph, where is he? He's in Egypt. Why is he there? He's been sold into slavery. He's under the rule and reign of Potiphar, the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. But the Bible says distinctly that he was a prosperous man. It's hard for us to think about Joseph being a prosperous man when you understand the description of what we're talking about here in Genesis chapter 39. One commentator, Joseph Parker, said, looking at the case through and through, one would say it is hardly correct to assert that Joseph was a prosperous man. He was to all intents and purposes in bondage when he was the property of another, when not one hour of his time belonged to himself, when he was cut off from his father and from his brethren. Yet it is distinctly stated that notwithstanding all of these things, the Lord was with him and he was prosperous. The Bible makes it clear Joseph was a prosperous man. Now, what do we understand from this? Well, obviously, God views prosperity far differently than we do. We define it in terms of money or a new car or a new house or a good job or prestige or some earthly position or possession or whatever, but God doesn't see it that way. God sees prosperity from a spiritual perspective. The Lord was with Joseph and he was a prosperous man. The Bible distinctly states here that prosperity is not related to a person's possessions or position, of which Joseph had very little. What we learn from Joseph's experience in the Bible is that true prosperity is when God is with you and helping you through life. Friend, however 2020 may be drawing to a close for you, whatever the prospect of 2021 is this morning, can I encourage you and can I challenge you? True prosperity is found in the presence of the Lord. Joseph, a meager slave, having no rule over his own life, facing incredible adversity, secured the presence of God, and he was prosperous. Joseph, how did you handle the situation of life being turned upside down? Well, we see Joseph's wisdom and Joseph's walk, but notice with me, thirdly, Joseph's witness. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, and his master, this is Potiphar, saw that the Lord was with him, Joseph, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now, though Joseph was a slave, he was an excellent witness for the Lord and before Potiphar. We saw it earlier in his work and his wisdom and the fact that he was doing his best with whatever he had been given to do, even when it's not something he would have ever have chosen. As you and I think about the year coming, if the Lord tarries us coming this week, we will enter into 2021. We're kind of excited to be saying goodbye to 2020. We're excited to welcome a new year, new opportunities, and certainly praying right now for our region and the effects of this virus and through lots of medians that we will see this coming under control and then moving into some normality later on in 2021. We're excited all of that. But if the Lord tarries us coming, and if we enjoy 2021 as we plan and prepare for, may you and I do it in such a way that God is seen in it all. Here was Joseph suffering as a slave. Here was Joseph away from his family. Here was Joseph in a foreign land. But everything he did, the Bible says in verse number 3, you could see God in it. Pharaoh was not a Christian. Potiphar was not a Christian. And yet Potiphar could tell that the Lord was with Joseph. There was something about the way he lived that God could be seen. By the way, what an encouragement to us. Sometimes if we're not careful, we think the only way to have a powerful witness is to have a really influential job. Maybe we might think of our pastor. Hey, our pastor preaches messages. Our pastor writes books. Our pastor is on the radio and on the internet. And he has a wonderful influence for the cause of Christ. And God's using him in a wonderful way. But we might think to ourselves, but that's him. And I don't know that God could use me. I mean, I just go to work and I just do what I do. I don't know a lot of people. I don't have a lot of opportunity. I'm not sure that God could use me in a wonderful way. Well, friend, can I encourage you? Joseph didn't have a lot of opportunity. He was a slave. Joseph didn't have a lot of friends. He was in a foreign land. He didn't know anybody. Joseph didn't have a lot of influence. He was a meager house servant to Potiphar. Joseph had every excuse not to be used by God. But the Bible states in verse number 3, while he's just getting started being a slave in Potiphar's house, it was obvious the Lord was with him. Joseph indeed had a powerful witness. The Bible says, "You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friend, can I encourage you? If the Lord tarries is coming, and as we go into 2021, no matter how it looks, no matter what's going on, may we be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. May it be obvious that God is in us, that we are living in obedience and surrender to the Lord every day of our life. May people know Jesus because they get to know us in 2021. How did Joseph respond to this adverse time in his life? Notice with me, lastly, as we close, number 4, Joseph's worth. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake." So Potiphar puts everything into Joseph's hand, and now the Lord is blessing Potiphar because of Joseph. "And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field." Look at verse 6. "And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. He knew not aught what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Potiphar puts everything into Joseph's hand. The only thing Potiphar knows is what he's going to eat for dinner. Everything else about his estate, everything else about his affairs, everything else about his finances and resources, these were all managed by Joseph. And Joseph's faithful service indeed was a blessing to Potiphar, but it wasn't just a blessing to Potiphar, it was a blessing to Joseph himself. Now stop and think with me for a moment. Had Joseph stayed in Canaan with his dad, Jacob? Had Joseph continued to be that favorite son, the coat of many colors? I don't know what Joseph's daily routine looked like, but I do know this, that when Jacob, the father, wanted to know about Joseph's brothers in the field with the cattle and the farm responsibilities, if you will, that was happening over in Shechem, he sent Joseph. So Joseph was not with the brothers in the field. Joseph was not doing the same chores that his brother was doing. Joseph did not know the same daily routines that his brothers knew. There was something about Joseph's father and his love for Joseph that there was a bit of a pampering going on. And I don't know, but if Joseph stayed in the house of his father his whole life until God was ready to use him in the way that he designed, he may never have developed the character, the trust in God that was necessary for his life. Joseph benefited from this season of hard work and obeying others. And I believe that often God's method for preparing us for the work that he has created us to do is to give us a job to do and people to obey. The Bible says in Matthew 25:21, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." As Joseph obeyed and as Joseph worked hard, Potiphar again began to give him more and more until eventually he gave him everything, oversight, management, stewardship of everything in his house except for the food that Potiphar ate. Potiphar was blessed and his house prospered because of Joseph. The Bible says in Psalms 1:3, and I believe this describes the character of Joseph, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Anything that Joseph touched, it became successful. Now the hope for America in 2020-21, if the Lord tarries his coming, as the presence of godly people. The Bible says in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. In Proverbs we read, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. The value of righteous people is so incredibly important. And may you and I determine, if the Lord tarries his coming and we enjoy a new year in 2020-21, that we're going to do everything in our power to be a righteous person, securing the presence of the Lord, adding value everywhere we go because of the blessing that God has put on our life. One of the most vivid illustrations in all of the Bible of this is the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. God was so tired of their evil and wickedness that God declared he was going to destroy those cities. And Abraham began to pray that God would spare these cities. And if you read Abraham's prayer in Genesis chapter number 18, he begins to talk with God and begins to leverage the fact that there could be righteous people in there. And as Abraham prays, he says, God, would you save this city if there were but 50 righteous people found in Sodom? If you know the prayer, he windles that down to 45 and 40 and 35 and 30 and 20 and finally settles at 10. And Abraham says, if 10 righteous people can be found in Sodom, God, will you spare the city from annihilation? And God says that he will. We know that 10 righteous were not found, and those cities indeed were destroyed. But it's a powerful illustration, reminder of the value of righteous people. Are there 10 righteous people in Lancaster? Are there 10 righteous people in your neighborhood? Are you and I a righteous person? I'm not saying perfect, none of us are. But are we a righteous person? Are we living in the fear of God? Are we securing the presence of God? Are we doing the best for God that we can do every day with whatever it is that is happening in our life? Are we true and faithful even in times of great adversity? Joseph had incredible value. He was blessed. The blessing of God was upon him and upon everything that he touched. Who would have ever thought that any good thing could have come out of the notorious Ravensbrück death camp of the Nazis? Surely when she was incarcerated there as prisoner number 66730, Corrie ten Boom must have wondered at her fate. Yet in that place of torment and horror, that devoted and courageous servant of the Lord Jesus Christ decided that if she had to live in this suburb of hell, where the only means of exit for a Jew or a Jew sympathizer was up in the smokestack of the crematorium, if death was to stare her in the face every day, if she must live daily with spine-chilling atrocities, if she must be subjected to indignity and intimidation, if she must be foul with vermin and whipped and forever hungry, terrorized day and night, why then she would be the very best inmate Ravensbrück Horror Camp had ever known. She would be a Christian. So there, in barracks number 28, she held clandestine Bible studies and taught her fellow inmates how to face life and death with the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of her agony, God was able to open up for her in later years a worldwide ministry. Her story has been told in print and on countless platforms. It has been made into a major film and shown around the world. It has thrilled and challenged and encouraged countless millions of people. Often she must have wondered why, after she had risked her own life so often to rescue the persecuted Jews from the Nazis, how God would have allowed her to be piled into that boxcar on that particular day with 80 other frightened human beings packed in so tight that they could barely breathe. Why was she forced to endure such thirst and hunger, such unspeakable filth, such naked horror, and such sorrow over the death of her weaker sister? But now she knows. For through her life and ministry, thousands upon thousands have been led to give their lives to the Lord. And Corey Ten Boom could say, as Joseph did in Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 20, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." I don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. I don't know how 2020 is going to conclude. I don't know how 2021 is going to look as we get started. But I do know this: God means it for good. We can trust the Lord. He is sovereign and in control. And as we face seasons of uncertainty, when life is turned upside down, how do we prepare for the future in such a time as this? Well, maybe we have the wisdom of Joseph to do our best no matter what's happening around us. May we have the walk of Joseph to understand the value of securing the presence of the Lord. And may we be unwilling to face another day without first walking with God personally, having that relationship and longing to have the Lord with us everywhere we go. May we have the witness of Joseph, living our life in such a way that it is obvious that we believe in and are living a life ordered by the Lord. May we tell everybody we can about Jesus in the new year. And may we have the worth of Joseph, that even in adverse circumstances, that life would be a little better because of what we bring to it, nothing of ourselves, but God through us. That's how Joseph got through the season of being a slave. As you and I prepare for 2021, it may feel a little bit like, ready, set, stop. And I don't know how it's all going to play out, but I do know this: it can be a prosperous year if it is lived in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ.